You're listening to Red Nation Online.
De Leon, De Leon gets it behind Morrow. Still De Leon gets around Haglund. De Leon! Haglund flicks it. Oh, it's in the net! It's in the net! It's in the net! Nick De Leon would not be denied. That's the termination.
I'm not sure whether he's going to get...
Wednesday, July 30th, it's J.C. Plon and I'm Ian Clark, and we're live and direct from the Football Factory in TFC's dismal 3-0 loss to DC United. What happened to those games in hand? July has gone to waste, and a chance at fighting for top spot all but out of reach. Instead, the Reds are closer to hitting the panic button, as they've looked incomplete since the World Cup break. We look at these last two marquee fixtures, the game in hand, and the criticism surrounding Michael Bradley of late. All this and more in the next 45 minutes on Eastside Stand Up.
Alright, it's furious. You ready? For the terribleness that was this match.
Look, man. Toronto City, we should be well prepared to be talking about a result like this.
Is it because it's Sharknado tonight and we ran into a Sharknado? Like, what was that? You could make an argument that the match against Kansas City was one of the best matches TFC have played in a long time, if not the whole season. Yeah. Like, maybe early on, some of the matches were really, really good.
A result you could swallow.
Yeah.
A result you could deal with.
We outplayed them, the referee was shit. You know, you can... I don't believe in moral victories, but that's as close as you can come, I guess, to one.
But...
And then in this one...
But at some point, I think we need to stop and look at the run of results since we've come back from the World Cup.
Yeah.
And this is sort of where it's all of a sudden catches... It all catches up, you know? It's almost like when you're going through it, you don't notice it until it's too late.
Well,
and
we
now we're at a point where a couple weeks ago... We were talking about these games in hand and getting the results, and now it's two results on the bounce. We're out of the picture for the top two places, and now we're fending off all these teams that are creeping up behind us.
We looked at July, which seven matches in July in the league, and plus that stupid friendly. We have games in hand. This is where we're going to make it up. A lot of those games are at home. This is good. It's going to be a good July. One win. One win in seven. That's just not good enough.
And who's the win against?
Houston
at home.
Yeah.
Right? Where at one point it looked like we were going to lose that game.
Yeah.
It
took a miracle to win that one. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Without going overboard, but that is sort of the way I'm thinking of it, where it's sort of happened where I'm trying to think of a metaphor, but it is kind of like now that, you know, it's, you're clear cutting the forest and you're polluting the waters, and not until that, like, it's too late that you realize, shit, we're in the shit. And I kind of feel like we're getting to that point, if not there already.
And I think the problem is I have to lay a lot of this blame at the manager's feet. But
tonight.
Yeah, especially for tonight. But all season, like, we make fun that, oh, he's not going to bring anybody on until the 85th minute. Like, his substitutions have been weird. Playing a guy who was, you know, in university last year at center back with... basically a fullback, also at center back tonight to start, right? Orr and Haglund. That was an odd pairing, and I get there's injuries, but you traded one away, you know, in Agbosumande. He's a natural center back. I mean, surely, like, maybe, you know, like we used to do with Frings. Frings would also play center back because we were lacking. Well, maybe you do the same thing. You bring back a defensive center, defensive midfielder.
Sure. Maybe.
Who can do the job, right? And you had Jackson at the end playing left back, you know, with Morrow and center back. It was just a weird situation. But Nelson's such a good recruiter that,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, maybe
he's a great GM, isn't he?
Right?
Great GM.
Him, Bezbachenko, and, you know, together have done well, but...
I think my biggest issue with this game is I think most people would have watched that first half and come to the conclusion of what needed to happen. And it didn't happen until we were down 2-0. I think you. I think we saw all we needed to see in the first 45 minutes to say, either Oduro's touch isn't happening, or Jackson's not being effective, or there's an issue with Orr. Several things where it's like, bring on Gilberto, bring on Osorio, bring on Lovitz, bring on one of those guys, change things up at the half. I don't know why, what more he needed to see, down 1-0, what he was waiting for. You know what I mean? Like, I think the verdict was out after 45 that something should have happened going into the second half. On the road, too, you know what I mean? That's the other thing. Like, at home, I could maybe see, but on the road, you know, it's things aren't in your favor. So if you're going to make it happen, make it happen.
The first half ended where TFC had out-attempted DC, like, 11-12-5.
Yeah, 7 shots on goal.
Right, and, like, all right, so we're just missing. Nothing was very worrying Hamid. You know, none of the shots were terrifying. But at least you figured they're getting chances. The 13th chance or attempt by TFC wasn't until the 79th minute.
Sure.
So the second half, you're down 2-0. And now all of a sudden you go into super defensive shell and you're not even pressing anymore. And you, like, what's going on? So what more do you need before you start making a change? It was just not good.
Yeah. So we had a moment to vent, but let's recompose ourselves maybe and kind of take it from the top. Because I think the thing that coming into this game, obviously, we made note of the run of form that we've been in, but of course we're coming out of that Kansas City game. We're coming into that, I think, probably at the start of the season, we wouldn't have circled away to DC as an important game.
No, absolutely not.
Looking in July, it all of a sudden did become an important game. And these two games are probably the most crucial ones that we might see through the regular season. You know, Kansas City represents the first place side, DC the second place side, and a huge chance for Toronto to gain ground. You know, you call them like a 6-point game almost between those two teams, right? And would have made a big statement to get something out of both these games, but of course we didn't get anything out of Kansas City. You know, we see Daniel Henry go down with his 5th yellow card, and then we come into DC, and it's a, you know, big chance to come out and do something different. And we see off the top that at least we have Defoe back, and maybe that's something that we would have looked at from the Kansas City game that we were lacking.
Right. Yeah, I think having the two big strikers, I think you need the a tall and a small, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather have Gilberto and Defoe up there because we've barely seen that. And I think I saw somewhere where we've not had all three DPs start a match together this season. So, I mean, there's been issues with injury suspensions and the World Cup, but that's still on the manager at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have to look for that. DC, very strong at home this season, only one loss since in the last 10 at home.
You know, one thing before we dig into that, though, that I think we should frame, and that should be a part of this discussion, though, is, you know, of course, it's Toronto against DC, two teams that were two of the worst teams in the league last year.
Yeah.
That had to do a complete retool, and where do they sit now? And I think it's an interesting discussion to have, or just sort of like looking at these two teams and how they went about it and where they're sitting. And you know, it's not definitive because you know we're halfway through the season. Who knows what will happen in the playoffs? Who knows what will happen in 2-3 years down the road? But in the present, DC chooses to go the way of building their team around proven MLS talent.
Yeah.
Toronto FC goes abroad, splashes some big cash, builds their side around DP signings, and here we are at the midpoint of the season where one team is clearly ahead of the other one, fighting for the top of the table, and the other one is now sort of spiraling in a tight spot.
I'd argue that we've gotten some MLS proven talent as well with Hagelin and Morrow, who have been very good.
Well, Hagelin's not proven MLS talent. You can't say
that. Oh, sorry, yeah.
But Morrow, I would say Morrow's fair.
And
Duro to an extent.
Warner to an extent.
Yeah.
Like, there are some pieces that have come in that have been good. And so I wouldn't. And also, like, we're obviously ranting because they were so terrible tonight. But remember, we're still in third spot, still in the playoffs. You know, we're still up there, we're still doing well. So even though only one win in July, it's not bleak.
Sure.
You know what I mean? It's like,
this is why you're here, JC. Glass half full.
You have to remember,
I am on glass half empty. I gotta tell you now. I've been saying this for the last couple games where I'm like, I'm feeling more glass half full. But on a result, I'm it's just in my instinct. It's been beaten into me for 7 years. You know what I mean? Where I'm I was looking back at 2010, right, when we came back from that World Cup break, and just shit the bed.
Yeah.
Just shit that we were in a great spot before and just shit the bed. I just can't help but look at when you really scrutinize the current run of form. Like you were saying, it's not about the chance. Like, great, we get chances, but games aren't, you know, the points aren't measured by how many chances you have on goal. It's how many balls go in the back of the net at the end of the night.
Also, the other part of that is how many goals we allow.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't get mentioned a lot, but we have the worst shot stopper in maybe the history of the MLS.
On a save percentage. Based on save percentage.
But that was before coming to TFC.
Yeah.
He hasn't done much to improve since he's been here, right? Last season, you say, well, it's not really his fault. You know, we're shit all around him. You can't blame him. But, like, this year, he's, you know, maybe not this match. But
yeah, but, you know, we were shit when Fry was our keeper. He didn't have the worst, you know, the worst save percentage. Same thing with Kosic.
That's what I'm saying. They weren't the worst save percentage, and he is.
And these teams were fucking awful that all those guys were.
We played Mark Rueda, for fuck's sake. Like, we've had some terrible, terrible teams. And none of the keepers have been bad. Like, for some reason, we love Bendik because he makes spectacular saves. Maybe those saves that are spectacular to him would be normal for somebody else.
Sure.
And you wouldn't even notice them, right?
Yeah. But let's go. You know, I cut you off. I apologize for that. But if we roll into this game, I'm gonna say that there's definitely a pattern to Toronto FC's performances.
Yeah.
And it starts off looking good out of the start.
Yeah.
And they did that today. I mean, they had a bright opening 20 minutes, even though they gave up a goal.
Yeah, they gave a goal right away. But that was like, or it was just terrible in the beginning.
It's tough to watch. But I mean, the 6 minute you highlighted, you know, Dominic Oduro coming off a great game. He had a great game against Kansas City. I mean, you really have to say he did it all. I mean, he set up the goal. He just caused complete havoc down the wing. I think probably DC may have done their homework in a sense, but he still had his chances in the first half to really make his mark on the game. And, you know, you see that chance in the 6 minute and you're thinking, just hammer it. Like, don't. And he tries to place it wide, misses the net.
Yeah, and on that, you remarked it. Like, Defoe's body language is just, like, right away from the start of the match, he's frustrated he didn't get the ball. And I don't know. Sometimes I worry about him. And, you know, yeah, he scores goals, but, like, is he becoming a problem where he's pissing off everybody else, right? I mean, he was never going to be a captain anyway, so that's, you know, he's not there for that, but I thought that was interesting. We noticed that a lot.
Sure. And of course, Murphy's Law. You know, Toronto misses a glorious chance, and they come back around. And I think they highlighted Cravel when the goal happened, that he didn't get there in time. But, I mean, we watched that replay, and we're watching Bradley Orr just kind of... He didn't look over his shoulder. He
but just Bradley stood Orr there. Is watching the ball... Cravel is coming from deep on the right side to run in and gets there on top of Orr, basically. But if he has to come in and defend the center, like, right in front of goal at where Orr is, then that's clearly Orr's responsibility.
You would think.
Like, Cravel did all he could.
Yeah.
He was coming from so far away. He's a fullback. He shouldn't be there to begin with. Like, that was not his man. Yeah. It's Eddie Johnson. I've heard of him. Like, surely you've heard of him. How do you not mark Eddie Johnson? That should be... We're playing DC.
He should be, you know... Like,
hey, that's who we need to look out for. Yeah. Him and Rolf.
And I think we knew before the game that it was, you know, Luis Silva's hot.
Yeah.
We knew that Luis Silva's hot. We knew that Eddie Johnson's hot. We knew that Nick De Leon's a guy to watch out for. And that Espíndola's injured. So... The scouting report should have been in.
Yeah.
It shouldn't have been tricky, and you can't miss Eddie Johnson. Anyways.
Well, is Jimmy Brennan taking up somebody's spot that should be doing the scouting? Like, why is he on the bench?
We don't know. We noticed that. We noticed him chewing his gum. I mean, and wondering what's the story with this coaching staff. As we roll through that first half, you know, once again, Johnson in the 14th minute gets another great chance, which I was actually surprised that he didn't dive.
I'm surprised he didn't dive. I think that was one where Bendik did well to not... I didn't
draw
even touch
the
ball. Yeah, but he didn't touch the ball, so it's like... like, it went out for a goal kick, so maybe Bendik wasn't as great as I had seen at first glance. But then the big one.
Yeah. And then, you know, again, going through another point that in that first half was a great chance where Jackson had the ball. And we've mentioned this before, and you just mentioned it now in terms of the frustration that Defoe might be feeling, where it's just my criticism, one of them, of Jackson is just maybe just a lack of awareness and a hesitation on the ball of releasing Defoe, because you know he's going to make that run.
Yeah. And he's still wanting to do it, but he's waiting for...
I don't know. The ball doesn't settle perfectly at his foot. I don't know, but it's just, you know, that was a lost opportunity. And then the 41st, we saw Aduro have that other great chance. And both those chances, if I'm not mistaken, were set up by Bradley.
Yeah.
Which is also a bit of an interesting story because he's been receiving criticism lately. But if Aduro had just taken that on the first touch and just hammered it, I think that would have been a much better option than his clumsy first touch that didn't put it anywhere well, and then he struck it and it just went out. It didn't even go out. It went over the shoulder and they cleared it wide.
Yeah. I think, I mean, 10 minutes before that, though, we have to mention the Defoe should have been penalty.
Oh, yeah, right.
In the 32nd minute, when he gets held, two hands, you know, grabs him down, pulls him down by his arm in the box, and wasn't called. That clearly has to be a penalty. Again, two the last match, one this one. The referee made some good calls. Unfortunately, some of them, the one that he was the best on, scored, resulted in a goal for DC.
Yeah, no kidding.
But like, that's clearly a miss, and you have to see that. I saw on Twitter that he's only refereed a handful of matches at the pro level. Like, maybe we should get some more seasoned pro referees, at least from NASL or USL Pros, something where they've seen men play and they're not taking them from the little leagues.
Right? Yeah. That was the last game for sure. This one as well, I don't know. But the other, you know, the one thing I wanted to note then is, you know, as we roll into the half, and this is the pattern that to me feels like it just keeps happening, that we come out in the second half and
there's no adjustments.
You know, we mentioned, of course, I think we'd seen enough from that first half to say, you know what, we should make some changes and maybe be progressive and be proactive and change things up, and it didn't happen. I don't know what the conversation. I mean,
my feeling is it goes into the locker room and says, "Hey guys, we're getting close. We're almost there. Just keep doing what you're doing," and that's the wrong message. The message is, "Hey, this is what they're doing. Look on the right side, Oduro. He's facing a knob in Korb. Attack him. Just go after him. He can't defend for shit. Do that.
Yeah.
Just and concentrate on that. You know what?" Look for Andy Johnson, wherever he is on the pitch. You know, look for Silva. You make those adjustments, and maybe you go from, you know, zone to a man marking or whatever you need to do for in certain areas, but you make those adjustments. Because the problem is, yeah, sure, if we're doing well, you want to keep doing that, but the other team is going to make adjustments.
Yeah.
And so if you don't make any adjustments on your own, then all of a sudden you've now negated any positivity that you had going into the half. I think that's the problem, and that has to be, and I don't want to harp on Nelson because I've been a pro Nelson guy. I mean, I've never bitched about him before, anybody who's known me. I've got to wonder now, like, that has to be a topic of discussion.
Yeah.
But what do you do?
Yeah. We've brought it up. I've mentioned it probably a couple times this season already, that this is the pattern that I'm seeing. We start the games well, and then we come out of the second half flat. Or just, you know, taken advantage of. And I can't help but look at, you know, what's being said in the locker room. What is the approach to make sure that we come out with the same energy we did at the start of a match? And, you know, do you switch that up? Do you make adjustments? Do you change your formation? Do you sub in new players? What do you do? Like, I can't think of anything. You know, it's just, you think of the coach where he has to look at the mood of the players and say, look at them himself and say, maybe I need to change my approach. Maybe I need to start throwing shit around the locker room. Maybe I need to start yelling at these guys. I don't know what, but something needs to change. And it needs to change fast, because obviously this is the first road game of four that we can't afford to keep this kind of performance up.
I don't think replacing Nelson is the answer, but maybe you get him an assistant with some experience who can just nudge him, you know?
Just nudge him.
Hey, Ryan, maybe a little pep talk here, or get angry a little bit.
Yeah.
He's scary looking enough that I'm sure if he, you know, starts throwing shit around, it'll have an effect.
Well, I mean, if you want to, touch on that, You know, you have a coach that has zero coaching experience. And it's like, I can understand at the time of the hiring that he brought in people that he knew, but at some point you probably want to say, look, if I have a coach who's sitting on not even 2 years experience, you know, how do you balance that out? How do you put yourself in the best situation possible? I mean, you got
the best talented team we've ever had.
Yeah.
Right? The skill level of the players.
You know, and you can paper, and like you can look back on, you know, when this club started, I mean, obviously we had Mo Johnson who had his issues. But they did it right, where a guy who had little coaching experience and they brought in Bob Gansler. I mean, that was a good move, of course, but Gansler had his fill after 1 year and said, fuck you, Mo, like, yeah, you can eat it. But that's probably a more sensible approach than a guy who sort of coached a small U.S. college that is buddies with him. You know, you probably want someone that can help guide Nelson along and can make those kind of suggestions, mm-hmm, that can draw on real experience,
yeah,
from a sideline to say, you know, the same things are happening. We need to recognize it and make a change and see the body language of the players and someone that can see the nuances and the small details of saying, you know what, you know, this isn't a good game for Jackson. We need to take him out, or you know, we need to throw in Gilberto and put three guys in attack and completely throw a wrench into what DC is expecting from us.
Yeah, it's about matchups, right? You just because, you know, you have to take out Jackson, doesn't mean he's playing poorly. It just means in this match, his skill is being negated and he's not adding anything.
Sure.
And we're picking on Jackson here. I don't know if that's actually the case, but Colin Warner.
I don't mind doing it. I got to be honest with you.
What's that?
I don't mind doing it. I'll be honest with you.
But Colin Warner, we barely saw him involved. So if he's not involved, then maybe take him out and put in the third
Osorio.
Attacker. Osorio.
Right.
And, you know, see what happens there. So you'll move around a bit more, right? Cause a little havoc. Oduro, yeah, on one side. Oduro, like, you know, there's things you can do like that. That just because, like, Colin Warren did nothing bad, but he wasn't adding anything either.
Yeah.
Right? And then you have to look at those matchups.
Sure. And even in that instance, look back on what worked. How did we beat Seattle 2-1?
Yeah.
Right? How did we beat Columbus on the road? Yeah. You revisit some things that were successful.
Yeah.
And try to maybe draw on that. And that's why I'm connecting the Osorio and Bradley partnership. And maybe that's something to reconsider.
Osorio, Bradley, you know, and then maybe and try the faux Gilberto, see what happens. Gilberto's been playing better. He scored 2 goals in 3 games, but now he's come on as a sub late in matches. So he's not really getting his groove on. And it's a striker. You need that. You need Moore is kind of stopped a bit. And Gilberto, with his effort was never the issue. You know what you're going to get with Gilberto.
Yeah.
He's not going to stop running. Yeah. He's going to track back. He's going to play with defensive plays. You know, I joked that he's a better defender than Orr. Like,
he wanted to sub him in for Orr. He said it over and over.
You know, there's nothing wrong there. But yeah, so anyways, that's what was going into the second half.
And then running in the second half, I mean, it wasn't long. It wasn't too far, but I mean, the main was over from the 59th minute where the main breakdown happened. Where, you know, you're just watching and you're just like, good God, what is this all about? And you saw, you're saying the ref, his one good call unfortunately went in the favor of DC. But then
we thought it was a good call because he's played advantage instead of calling the penalty right away. But that was a soft penalty. It was a soft foul, right? And the defenders, and this that really bothered me, is as soon as you saw the hands go up, they kind of assumed it was a penalty, and they
gave up.
Yeah, they gave up, and then they scored the goal.
What are you going to do, though? Like,
yeah.
It's a tough, that's probably a tough play to work through as a defender, to say, he's going to call a penalty. Like, what?
It's advantage in the box. Yeah, so, yeah.
And at 2-0, it's kind of like,
at that
and
point,
then, but that's, that was, there's the frustration, I think. Probably a lot of people are seeing, because once they were up 2-0, oh, okay.
And then
now we see Lovitz come in for Orr.
But that was
and
5 minutes after that. So it wasn't even right away.
Well, even the commentators were making notes, like, no one's warming up.
Yeah.
Right? No one's warming up. And we see Lovitz in for Orr. You got your wish. Orr came out. And then Osorio for Oduro. Not a lot changed. And then, of course, we see De Leon come in at the 68th minute. And it was kind of a bit of a, you know, a retool from the home game where De Leon scored, and kind of like when Hagelin was exposed out wide and he just blew right by him. He did it again, and Hagelin
headed into
it. It was a tough one. I mean, you know.
I think, I don't blame him necessarily for it. I think you were saying you don't think it was going to go in.
It wasn't.
Haglund,
but we like,
yeah, I'm not gonna momentum. He's trying to head it over the goal.
I'm not gonna shit on Haglund now because of that. But it just was like, it's unfortunate that that's the way it happened. And you know, when you take out or you have a rookie as your pretty much your anchor right on the back line after that substitution,
so then you're left, Jackson, Haglund, Morrow,
Crivell.
Wow, that's that's rough,
And as you know, we're down three. I mean, we packed it in there. I was saying, like, we almost started this podcast at the 80th minute. Yeah. Like, that was kind of what it came to. And, you know, we're obviously flipping through Twitter, and everyone's just, the interesting thing that the commentators said that I was thinking of to start was, you know, we had two games in a row where we could make a statement, and it was two games in a row where Kansas City and DC made a statement at our expense. That's the statement. Is that the statement was made at our expense.
And getting shut out. 14 matches in a row, we'd scored a goal.
Yeah.
There's two ways to look at that. One is, like, that's how bad tonight was. The other part, if I'm being JC, Mr. Positive Man, only the third time we've been shut out all season. In a 19th, 20th match, right?
19th. Yeah.
I mean, you made a case, but you know what? Pretty good.
Mr. Here, glass half empties, looks at that and says,
tonight was terrible.
given the runner results of recently, like, we're hitting a low point, right? So it's that much harder for it to get better.
Just defensively, it's just so
right. Bad. And this is a hard funk to straighten out. Just, I think there really needs to be hard questions asked quickly and, you know, addressed and rectified. You know, I don't think you can take this approach that we have, you know, every last 7 years, we would have a discussion. We're like, hey, everyone, just take it easy, calm down. Like, these are things. And it's just, no, you know, let's say it as it is.
Yeah.
You know, this was a shit result.
Oh, this is.
And we've blown a lot of results recently. And let's be blunt. To me, I look at, okay, like, I'll be fair. Caldwell's injured. Bloom is injured.
And Henry's suspended.
But however, those guys have been available since the World Cup break. Mm-hmm. And we've had some teetering results, some cagey performances with Disco's in there. So to me, I say, you know, this needs to be looked at. You know, why is our defending not as strong as it should be? We thought we had this locked down.
I'll make a parallel with, as many know, I'm a City fan in the EPL. Last season, at the beginning of the season, defensively, they're shit. What do? Bench Joe Hart, England's number one, the talisman, the local boy. Fucking benched him. Bring in the Romanian giant. He played great. Then bring back Joe Hart. And he was fucking fantastic after that. He was maybe the keeper, you know, of the league. I don't know who this Knopka kid is. Maybe it's no.
No.
But
this is an audio. There's no video on this, but I made a face. Yeah. I made a face. I'm not feeling. Yeah.
But can it hurt more? Really? Like, is Bendik doing anything that's impressing anybody?
Well, that's an interesting comparison, because I mean, my only thing was when Cesar was here. Once Cesar left, those first few games, I thought Bendik was great. The first few games after Cesar left, I thought Bendik looked fantastic. Yes. And my questions were alleviated, but I find that it's been a slow descent into his similar form from last year.
But the other thing I think with replacing Bendik, even if the new keeper is not as good as him, what's the defense going to do? They're going to tighten up because they won't trust him as much.
Sure,
maybe that's what you need, right? Just have everyone say, you know what, we don't know this kid, we don't trust him as much, so we're going to play a little more defensively in the back line.
You know who we need? Freddie Hall.
Killing Roberts, maybe. Yeah. You know, he's in Wilmington. He's been playing, at least.
Yeah.
Maybe he's the answer.
I wouldn't care. Like, you know, I'll always support a local kid, you know?
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, it's not just bringing in a new keeper. It's everyone's reaction to it on the team, sure. Right? That can make a difference.
Yeah.
It's all of a sudden you tighten up because, you know, he's an unproven commodity. And maybe that's just what you need, right? Because now it's like the ball watching from Orr, you know, loose defending, and Crivell was way up front a lot.
Yeah.
And he has that tendency.
He's out of his position. He's out of position.
Yeah.
Let's be fair.
Yeah, that's true. Everyone was out of position, except for Morrow.
That's there's a few things I kind of want, a few like discussion topics I wanted to get into post game. Of course, you know, like let's just wrap up this shit performance and this shit result. But sort of looking ahead, possible concerns. You know, we're in the midst of a 4-game road stretch. We're going into Montreal. Is this result a good thing or a bad thing going into Montreal? Because you know you can look at it in two ways. After a game like this, you may say, hey, there's no team I'd rather play than the Impact.
That's
I mean, they
always
are shit
true.
This year, right?
Which is fun on so many levels.
But on the flip side, a shit result like this, it says, this is, you know, I don't want to go into Montreal and then beat us now because we're playing brutal.
And Montreal is always going to get up for us, right?
Right.
Just to mess with us because it's what they do. Yeah, and then at Columbus, again, another rival.
And that's the game, you know, that's the game we need to be most, well, one of the games we're very concerned about because that's the game where we're tied for them right now, if I'm not mistaken, on the table.
But so we've already won the Trillium Cup.
Phew, thank God. Thank God. The season can wrap up as now, as far
as
I'm concerned.
We've got a trophy, right?
Yeah, we've got this, yeah. Maybe we can put another star on our jersey. Anyways. But that's the game, I think, that's a big question mark for me because obviously if we lose that one that means we drop down
and
at the start of the year
really
I
tough after that.
Yeah, and you know yeah, I mean at the start of the year I had my predictions of where we're gonna fall, but you know I started feeling good at one point in the season that hey shit, maybe we are top
better
than I thought we were gonna be, and it's tough to see things kind of maybe slipping through your fingers. You know, I don't want to be the 2014 version of the 2013 Montreal Impact or the 2011 FC Dallas. You want to see things corrected, and I want to see a playoff game. But you know, as things stand now,
that
really has to change. And then, of course, the game after that is Kansas City.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
It's tough. It's a tough stretch. I mean,
the plus side, no more midweek. Like, we've played on Wednesday, like, every Wednesday except one in July.
Sure.
So maybe the players will get rested, better training, you know, have more time to prepare for each match. Maybe that's what it was. Maybe it's just, you know,
just getting a breather.
We're just so busy that the scouting team wasn't prepared enough. Maybe they're slow, and they couldn't handle it, right?
Yeah.
Well,
that's a bullshit excuse.
Bullshit excuse, but look at Jamie Brennan. Can he really chew gum at the same time? I don't know who's on the scouting team. It's not Danny Dicchio, I know that.
Yeah. The other thing I wanted to just go over quick, and I don't know if the timing of this is positioning of this in the podcast is correct, but you know, I was looking at some things coming out of the last game and going to this one, and of course one of the, and maybe it does make sense because you know when we were looking at this matchup, DC the way they've built their team and Toronto FC the way they've built ours, and you have, you know, these big name DPs, and of course Defoe is one, but then we also have Michael Bradley, and Michael Bradley's, I don't know if come under fire is the right expression, but he's, I mean, he's been in the news.
I'm seeing some vile things being said about him. Yeah,
and he's, I mean, you saw it through the World Cup where Americans,
well, his first match in the World Cup was terrible, and I took a lot of guff because he's my background picture of my phone. Like, I love Michael Bradley.
Yeah.
And yeah, his first match he wasn't very good, and I think he lost a lot of confidence. And you can see he's not as good as the first four matches, you know, the season. You still see flashes. Like, he played well against Kansas City. He played well tonight.
Yep.
You know, a couple of errant passes, but some of that you can't even blame on him. Yeah, he's not, you know, the best player anymore. Maybe not, but, like, he's still playing very well. I don't think it's fair to say he's shit all of a sudden, because he's not. It's not a, you know, Pablo Vitti situation where
Julian
high expectation.
Guzman.
Yeah, Julian the Guzman, just like terrible, terrible players.
Yeah.
Bradley's still playing well,
yeah.
You know, well enough. And same thing, like Aduro hate tonight was crazy because he missed those two chances. Bradley's just getting on the ball and getting chances.
Yeah.
You know, can you say the same for Luke Moore?
Yeah. You know, I mean, Luke Moore
again,
had
I don't
want to
pick on Warner, but Warner was nowhere to be seen.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, my thoughts on it are that, you know, it was mostly, I think, you know, after this Kansas City game, you know, Bradley was very vocal about how poor the ref was. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, the chronology was that, and then, like, Alexi Lawless spoke up somewhere and just saying how he's, you know, he's overpaid and this and that. And there was a criticism through the World Cup. And I do think part of it is that, you know, MLS is an American league, and I think American supporters got their nose at it, or obviously probably have their nose at a joint that he's playing for a Canadian side. They would have much rather seen him on a high profile American team rather than one of the shittiest teams in the league that just happens to be in Canada.
Yeah.
I think that's a start. But, you know, when you look at the way the season's gone, I've said it with some players, you know, when we sign guys from the UK, and I always put like a little asterisk after they have one or two really great games out of the gate. I'm saying, well, hold on. You know, these guys have never played in North America. Let's see how they cope with flying 6 hours, coast, you know, dealing with the jet lag, the time difference, all this stuff.
I mean, like Lionel Robert.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, not to make an excuse, but, you know, I do want to add the caveat that, I mean, Michael Bradley's never played in a summer season since he's been 16 years, like in a decade.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, that's something, I think that's something to consider. And of course, he's rolling straight out of a season. So he hasn't had a break. Yeah. And he went and played in a World Cup.
That's the thing. He's played a lot of football. Even though we didn't, you know, get as much game time in Roma, he was still practicing every day.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, yeah, he...
He wasn't resting and recuperating.
Where was his vacation? Like, he came back from the World Cup. He played right away. Like, no one else has done that. No one else is doing that. Players who were in World Cup, a lot of them are returning to their training camps now. Training camps.
Yeah.
Forget matches. Right? And, yeah.
And I think if we scrutinize the chances that happened over the last couple games, you know, Bradley would have set up Oduro for a goal. He should have, you know, that should have been a goal.
Yeah.
And then, of course, last week, or, yeah, on the weekend, I mean, that, quote, potential red card was his pass. You know, he's been able to have these flashes and these great plays where, even despite potential fitness or form issues, he still has the technique to make it happen. Those are my thoughts on that. I'm not overly concerned, really, about... For me, there's a couple great guys on Toronto FC. I mean, I think the DP situation's fine. I'm not worried about the... About
no, I like
Defoe
to see them,
and Bradley.
I like to see all three of them play together.
But yeah. Oh, that's fair, yeah.
The only two players I have issues with, even tonight, and when... It's a terrible match by everyone. Like, Benic and Orr were still... Can you blame them individually? Or, yes, absolutely.
No, but I think this is a game where people, like I said, will look back and say changes should have been made at different points.
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily a fault of the player. You know, no. Some of these guys who were out of five, we needed to get a guy in there that could get us a six or a seven, right? Yeah. Like, we needed to get someone who could make more of an impact. But, you know, we've looked ahead.
Which I think, of course, is Kyle Becker. But. We all know how much I love Kyle Becker.
JC. I think you're alone on that one.
I was also alone on O'Brien White, so I'll take that.
Oh my god. Really?
I love O'Brien White.
Jeez, man. Alright, anyways. You know, we're hitting a point where, you know, I'm gonna roll it out a bit, but just a quick bit of like housekeeping or notes or, I don't know, announcement is the way to say it. But you know, I'm gonna be away for the next two games. But there was something from the previous podcast that was, I guess, sort of brought to our attention, because after the Kansas City game, we made it, and it wasn't really planned. It's something that I've thought of, and usually, like I before a podcast, I know the notes of things I want to talk about outside of the game. And it wasn't until we were leaving the game that it kind of dawned on me, where I was like, "Huh, like this was a really big game, and the atmosphere wasn't as jumping as I would have thought." And, you know, it was a Saturday night. A lot of things I lined up, you know, it was the weather was nice. These are all the things that, you know, Saturday, weather nice, et cetera, that lines up for what I would have expected to be a crazy atmosphere and this and that. And it kind of, for me, it wasn't so much. But without having listened back specifically to the things that he said, you know, it's kind of brought to our attention that there was probably some things we weren't totally on point on with regards to the South End and the atmosphere and the supporters and stuff like that.
Just
to address it, that, you know, in a couple of games, I hope that it works out. I contacted Phil Tobin with the Red Patch Boys to kind of, because we've talked to guys at SG114, Mark Ferris and Chris Schuler have been on here. And I, you know, when that came to me, I sort of thought, you know what, like, I always said, if someone wants to contact us, or if we want to get a different perspective and talk about the game, talk about supporters, etc., it's open. Anyone can come onto this podcast. Well, like, it's not exclusive. Yeah.
I'm a member of Red Patch Boys.
Right.
Yeah.
So just to say that I put it out there saying, hey, if you want to come on this podcast, Phil, it's open and it seems like it's accepted. So hopefully the next game that we'll be back is Kansas City with him. And we can talk about things like that and kind of just keep this discussion going on things that are going on the South End, the atmosphere and whatnot. So hopefully, because I have a feeling we say things on this podcast, a lot of it's observational on what's going around in the field. And the intention isn't necessarily to be like, yeah, you know, we're 105 and the South End's there to put on a show for us or shit like that. But I could see it might come across that way. And I just want to assure the listener that that's not the intention or the expectation. I think it really comes from a place of we support that kind of support and we support that atmosphere and we want it. And I think it's critical to being a part of the success of this club. So that's where it's coming from.
Yeah, I have a couple of points on that. One is, you're coming from perspective. From a certain distance.
A viewpoint.
Yeah,
like literally.
Sorry, exactly. And from my viewpoint, being a South End, that match was loud, but I think the point that you're making that's correct is it was as loud as usual. And it should have been more because the match was more important. And I think maybe that's where adjustments can be made. So, you know what? It's a big match. That should be, I don't say marketed because it's the wrong word because we're not a marketing, a group and that's not what we're there to do, right? And that becomes a whole issue. But it has to be acknowledged, like, hey, this is a big fucking match. This is a big deal and everyone needs to get on point. And you know what? It's a few more flags, a little something extra. Let's get a little more hype, a little more pumped, right? And to bring it up. And can we have our support match the importance
the magnitude.
Of the match. The magnitude, yeah, exactly. And I think that's a valid point, and I definitely agree with that. The reason it was louder for me, because I'm in 114, and we finally had a capo, right, for the first time. So, and from my perspective, it seemed to match a bit the magnitude, but I'm in a sliver, right? So in my silo, it was louder, but I can't see what's happening around me, right?
Yeah. And one of the points that I made was that I acknowledge the past 7 years and where we are now and part of the reasons of that, but I always look back on there are other games, there's been some great Champions League games and Champions League qualifying games where the support has been absolutely bonkers.
Like when we play Montreal,
I'm just watching the South End, even where we sit in 104, 105, 106 across from 127, 126 and 125, it's been bonkers. But I also think the stadium feeds off South End. That's part of it too, right? So the crazier that is down there, the more everyone else says, "Fuck, I want to get into that." And it's at points it's teetering on that. But I'm excited to have that conversation and bring that on and kind of like explore that. So for anyone who had listened over the last few weeks or the whatever when we brought that up, hopefully it'll be a balanced discussion and any things that we've been off point on will be corrected on.
I think it's not a bad discussion to have, right? And like I know you well enough to know that you weren't insulting anybody, you were never accusatory. It's just not your style, and you appreciate the support from your point of view, right? So
there, chew on that, listener. So we're going to leave it at that point. And it's unfortunate that I won't be back probably until that Kansas City game. So hopefully Montreal is a good experience. Columbus is one. Fuck, my fingers are crossed that by the time I get back. I mean, obviously, we'll be keeping an eye on it. But that's all I'll say on that. We'll just put this result behind us and hopefully the next one is better. And JC... You are at, are you JC_Plon?
With an E,
With an E on Twitter. Are you on Premier Punditry still?
Yeah, premierpunditry.com. You can read my blog and listen to me on the podcast.
Doing Man City coverage?
I'm Man City on the podcast, and the blog is about stats, generally speaking. So
cool. Yeah. Okay, so you can catch him there.
This week.
Yeah, and it's like, we've kind of lost touch with those guys, but check out that site. Premier Punditry is cool, right? It's Canadian. It's based out of here, right?
Yeah, it's based out of here, and it's all fan-driven.
One local or whatever, check it out, because I think that's pretty cool that someone from here is pushing together a site that's that comprehensive.
Every single team in the Premier League is represented this year. So amazing. So we'll have some good fun to turn.
The season's approaching, so check that out. All right, so we'll leave it on that note. And if anyone has anything to say, you can get me at ClarkRNO, at Red Nation Online, or info at Red Nation Online. Have your say at Red Nation Online. You can get me anywhere of all those places. And we'll leave it at that. Thanks for listening, guys, and we'll probably be back for that sporting conference in the day. We'll catch up. Thanks.
Eastside Stand Up is the only Toronto City specific podcast breaking down the game right after it happens. We want you to get involved. Reach out to us on Twitter at Red Nation Online or on email at info@rednationonline.ca and share your thoughts on how the Reds did on the pitch today. As well, check out other podcasts on rednationonline.ca, From the Black Hole and The Gaffer and Hooligan, giving you all the coverage you want on Canadian soccer. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.